صلى على محمد وآل محمد، اللهم صل على محمد. ثانية على حب الزهراء، صلى على محمد وآل محمد، اللهم صل على محمد. ثالثة لتعجيل فرج مولانا صاحب العصر والزمان، صلى على محمد وآل محمد، اللهم صل على محمد. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. عم يتساءلون؟ عن النبأ العظيم الذي هم فيه مختلفون. كلا سيعلمون، ثم كلا سيعلمون. ألم نجعل الأرض مهادا والجبال أوتادا وخلقناكم أزواجا وجعلنا نومكم سباتا وجعلنا الليل لباسا وجعلنا النهار معاشا وبنينا فوقكم سبعا شدادا وجعلنا سراجا وهاجا وأنزلنا من المعصرات ماء ثجاجا لنخرج به حبا ونباتا وجنات ألفافا إن يوم الفصل كان ميقاتا يوم ينفخ في الصور فتأتون أفواجا وفتحت السماء فكانت أبوابا وسيرت الجبال كانت سرابا إن جهنم كانت مرصادا للطاغين مآبا لابثين فيها أحقابا لا يذوقون فيها بردا ولا شرابا إلا حميما وغساقا جزاء وفاقا إنهم كانوا لا يرجون حسابا وكذبوا بآياتنا كذابا وكل شيء أحصيناه كتابا فذوقوا فلن نزيدكم إلا عذابا إن للمتقين مفازا حدائق وأعنابا وكواعب أترابا وكأسا دهاقا لا يسمعون فيها لغوا ولا كذابا جزاء من ربك عطاء حسابا رب السماوات والأرض وما بينهما الرحمن لا يملكون منه خطابا يوم يقوم الروح والملائكة صفا لا يتكلمون إلا من أذن له الرحمن وقال صوابا إلا من أذن له الرحمن وقال صوابا ذلك اليوم الحق فمن شاء اتخذ إلى ربه مآبا إنا أنذرناكم عذابا قريبا يوم ينظر المرء ما قدمت يداه يوم ينظر المرء ما قدمت يداه ويقول الكافر يا ليتني كنت ترابا. صدق الله العظيم، صلى على محمد وآل محمد.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعلى أهل بيت الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين روحي وأرواح العالمين له الفداء رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. So welcome brothers and sisters to our program. The last time we've had this program, we started talking about a very important concept, which was the concept of peace, experiencing peace and tranquility. So sukoon we would call the peace and tranquility in Arabic, and then itminan would be our certainty and kind of knowing that things are going to be okay. Now, we came to some very important conclusions last time. We came to the conclusion, the first one was the idea that this is a promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the believers, to the mu'mineen. That was one conclusion. The other one that we talked about was the idea of why is it that we as believers need this peace so desperately. And we read a verse of the Quran, which is important for us to remind ourselves of. This is 48. And verse number 4, where Allah says this, why do we need peace? Why do we need tranquility? Allah says this in the Quran, هُوَ الَّذِي أَنزَلَ السَّكِينَةَ فِي قُلُوبِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ God is the one who caused tranquility and peace, sakina, to descend into the qulub, the hearts of the mu'mineen. Why? He says, لِيَزْدَادُوا إِيمَانًا مَعَ إِيمَانِهِمْ In order that they increase in faith. We need peace, tranquility, these things in order to increase in faith and move towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then we also began the discussion of how to acquire peace. That was another very important discussion of how to actually acquire peace. And we came to another very important conclusion, which was that the only way for us to experience true peace is to fix our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the only way. We have to embrace Islam as is. Embrace Islam and God and His way and His system. So the verse of the Quran that we covered last time was this. Surah 13 and verse number 28. Allah says this. Allah bi dhikrillah tatma'innul qulub. Know that it is only with the remembrance of Allah that the hearts find peace. The only way to do it is by reconnecting with God, having that proper relationship with Him. There's no other way. Without fixing this, without fixing that relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the finer things in life, other people are also looking for peace. A better job, a better house, a better car, or either other techniques, yoga, right? Being vegan, all these kind of things. No, none of these things will give us that peace. Even going to see a therapist, or God forbid, if we actually start taking the pills that sometimes the therapists recommend, because people are looking for peace, that's not the solution, brothers and sisters. Some of these things are useful. There's a role for them. But if I don't fix the main issue, the only thing that's going to truly provide me with peace, the other things will be ineffective. This is the promise of God in the Quran. Allah bi dhikrillah tatma'innul qulub. The other thing we learned was this. Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. The other thing that we learned was this, the idea that Islam as a system needs to be embraced. The Islamic life and everything that comes with it needs to be embraced. If someone has a problem in this area also, again, the person's not going to experience peace. This is another promise of God in the Quran. So this one we covered last time. It's surah number 20 and verse number 20. Surah number 20 and verse number 124. Allah says this in the Quran. وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي, the person who turns away from my reminder, فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ذَنْكَ, this person will definitely have a wretched life. So without embracing God's system, turning towards Allah, right? Then again, there's no hope for the idea of that. Actually, the promise of God is that the person will actually have a wretched life. Now, this part, this last part, it's a little bit of a challenge because this is different than even just doing the wajibat. Alhamdulillah, all of us are mu'mineen. We're doing the wajibat. If I'm doing the wajibat, does that mean I've embraced Allah's system in its entirety? We want to remind ourselves of, this is one of those du'as that we make, or one of the things that we recite after our prayers. رَضِيتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبَّا وَبِالْإِسْلَامِ دِينَ, I am pleased with Allah as my Lord and with Islam as my religion. I've embraced it. I've taken all of this religion, and Islam is both the beliefs that Allah wants me to have and also the actions that God wants me to do. So I can't have any pet sins. That will be, again, turning away from the reminder. I can't have wrong views. Sometimes the views, the beliefs that I hold, are opposite of the things that God has said. So sometimes you'll have a believer and they will have the wrong views. They're uncomfortable with certain parts of Islam, for instance. That's again turning away from the reminder. Or, and what happens is, what's a little bit sad is to see, sometimes you'll see a practicing believer, a Muslim, but the idea that Islam is both actions and accepting God's system, embracing it in its entirety, that hasn't been introduced to the believer. So the person is struggling. They're spinning their wheels. They're trying to experience peace, but there's no other way other than going to God's system. It's like trying to force a round peg in a square hole. It's impossible. So just some areas, again, for us to just talk about, and then after that, move to tonight's discussion. So for instance, being unhappy, these are beliefs now. So one part of it, as I talked about, would be a pet sin, something that I'm militant about. We all might make mistakes, but if I have a sin that I'm doing and I'm militant about, right, I justify, right, I could be uncomfortable with the roles of men and women in Islam, for instance. That will be one area of turning away from that dhikr or the reminder of Allah. Another area could be sometimes people are unhappy with how good things happen to bad people and bad things happen to good people, right? Some people are unhappy with Allah's system in that way. The way that Allah has designed this earth is not such that my du'as are answered as I want. You'll see mu'mineen, mu'minat, praying, making du'a, but sometimes trying to impose their will on God. Again, that's turning away from the reminder. Or assuming rights that Allah hasn't given us. Allah hasn't given me this right. I want this. I think this should be this way. That's, again, me turning away from the reminder of Allah and stopping myself from experiencing Allah's best and that concept of peace. Salawat, please. Muhammad. So what happens is, if any of us, either we ourselves, are experiencing this lack of peace, we haven't been able to find that peace, that contentment, that tranquility, or we see with someone else who is a good believer, a Muslim, but they're also not experiencing this, we've got to talk to that person and ask them a simple question. Do you like misery? Do you like misery? Because the only way, right? Secondly, nobody would say that I like misery. Am I willing to do what's necessary to experience peace? That's also a choice. It can't be the case that I'm stubbornly doing my own thing and then I'm one. No, it doesn't work like that. God's laws are like clockwork. It's like the rules of science, right? Like, imagine somebody who was depressed if they saw the sunrise in the morning. I don't like the sun. Every time I see the sunrise, I get depressed. The sun's going to continue to rise. That's not going to change. Becoming one with Allah's system, that's the choice. That's what we're deciding to do. So it's kind of like that story that they tell. They said once this lady went over and she saw this really happy old man on a rocking chair. So she was like, "You just seem so happy. Things are going so well for you." He said, "Yeah, I'm loving it." She said, "Well, what's your success, your secret of success? What did you do to live so long?" He said, "Me, every day I've got fatty foods. Every day I have cigarettes. I never exercise." She said, "Wow." She said, "And how old are you?" He said, 26. I can't go against God's system, fight God's system, and then after that, expect results. The way that Allah says it in the Quran is this. This is Surah 12 and verse number 21. Wallahu ghalibun ala amrih. Allah prevails in his affair. Allah, there's no cheating God's system, no going around it. Allah prevails in his affair. He reigns supreme over his affairs. وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Most people don't know. Most people don't know and don't do this. So then the conclusion is the idea of let go and let God. Submit to the system. Let go and let God. Or that thing, that beautiful statement that we learned from Ayatollah Behjat, this is from our last lesson, where we've got to trust God at least as much as a small child trusts their loving parents. The way Ayatollah Behjat trained us is this way, that if we could trust God as much as, a lot of us have little kids, as much as those kids, the trust they have in their parents, all of our problems will be resolved. That much ma'rifah. Now we can increase that, but even just having that much trust of Allah and his system, that he's going to do it the right way. Now, what we have to do now are talk about some applications and some strategies to make it practical, some techniques that we have to use in order to, again, acquire this peace. So, one of them, this is now from the Quranic perspective, the idea of getting married. In Islam, the purpose of getting married is in order to find peace and tranquility. The ayat of Quran is this, Surah 30, verse number 21. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ among God's signs أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا that he created for you from yourselves mates. Why? لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا in order that you find peace, that you find tranquility with these individuals. How do I know if I'm in a successful marriage or not? From an Islamic point of view, do I feel that sense of peace and comfort with my spouse? If the two individuals are feeling that kind of sense of peace and tranquility, then alhamdulillah, that's a sign of a great marriage. Sometimes we have struggles, and we'll talk a little bit about that. So one of those tools that we need in order to acquire peace is the idea of getting married. We should all be trying to get married. And what happens is then we'll use that tranquility that we find in marriage to go over and get towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in Islam, and this part I have to explain technically, and then after that, practical applications. In Islam, in order to get married properly, or in order to experience peace, we've got to do it the right way. In Islam, our instructions are that we marry people who are kuf to us. We'll call it our equals in English, but Kuf, the Arabic term is for it, is kuf. Ankihul akfa, right? So you're supposed to marry off people who are akfa. Wankihu fihim, marry people who also are kuf, right? That's part of the Islamic instructions. To this extent that also Islam teaches us, they say that if someone, so this is now a story from Imam Ali, where a man approaches, the Prophet explains a principle. The Prophet says this, famous hadith, he says, إِذَا جَاءَكُمْ مَنْ تَرْضَوْنَ خُلُقَهُ وَدِينَ What we're doing now is defining what it means to be kuf, and then after that we have to talk about what about if we're in a situation where we're not like that, and also general principles for getting our families the way that we're supposed to be. So if someone comes to you and you are pleased with the khulq and deen of this person, the akhlaq and the religion of this person, then the Prophet says, you're supposed to marry your daughters off, right? Someone approaches, then if the suitor, right? It goes both ways, by the way. The person has those characteristics, the Islamic instructions are, that you marry off that person. The Imam Ali says, I ask this question. What about if he doesn't come from a great family? He might not be from a great family. The Prophet again repeated the same lines. And then he said this. He added this. He said, if you don't do this. By the way, this has been experienced in certain communities. Instead of the principle being, I marry off my children to those people who have the khulq and the deen. And we're going to talk about what that means. We're going to define what it means to be kuf in Islam. I say, no, I'm more smart than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm not going to do this. What does the Prophet say will happen? I'll tell you the actual experience, but at least the Prophet say will happen. The Prophet says this, إِلَّا تَفْعَلُوا, if you don't do this, تَكُنْ فِتْنَةٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَفَسَادٌ كَبِيرٌ. There will be fitna and a great corruption in the earth. Communities, these are like communities that I've been to, where people would not have this as a principle, they would witness their children marrying outside of the deen. Their children would marry outside of the deen. Then they would get so desperate. I've seen, unfortunately, what happens. Sometimes people are like, it gets so bad. I just want my daughter to marry a man. Right? You start ignoring some of Allah's principles. Like when the Prophet says there'll be fitna and fasad, if we ignore Allah's principles, it really gets hairy. It really gets crazy. Now, what we want to do is practically engage in some of these discussions and these things. So in order to be kuf in Islam, there's two things that we're supposed to look for. One of them is akhlaq, and the other is the belief system of the person. The belief system is supposed to be correct, and then after that, the akhlaq. What happens is if these two can be there, the couple can get married, and the unnecessary stressors of life, they won't have to experience. Everybody still has tests. Everybody still goes through difficulties. But there are some stressors that we don't have to experience. It's part of us making the right, wrong decisions and then ending up not experiencing Allah's best. So I'm going to give some examples. We want to make sure when we get married, and then we're going to see how this applies just dealing with family members and stuff like that. When we get married, we want to make sure that the belief system of the person is the same as my own, and also the akhlaq is the same as my own. Otherwise, what happens is sometimes a person has a temperament that's different than mine. What does that mean? Define it. The things that bother me don't bother my spouse. The things that I feel strongly about, they don't feel strongly about. Sometimes even the opposite. I think something is very, very important. This has to happen. The other person says, I don't think that's important. Or I think the opposite. That should be there. The times when I feel I'm successful now. Alhamdulillah, I've achieved something. For the other person, that's not a sign of success. I'll give you an example. Let's say some individuals didn't observe these principles, the principles of marrying someone who was their kuf, and now we're supposed to go to a family gathering. In the family gathering, this is an example. In the family gathering, this is a gathering where people are actually committing sin. But they're relatives. It's a gathering where they're committing sin. If our belief system isn't the same, one spouse says, well, we open the door, we see that now this is a gathering of sin. We're not supposed to be there. One spouse says, okay, well, I shouldn't be here. I should be leaving. We should both leave. The other spouse says, but our relatives are here. That's not nice. What will people think? One spouse is saying, right? So what happens? One spouse is saying that we can't make Allah unhappy because of what the people are saying. The other person is saying the opposite. So where did this come from? It comes from the belief system. My view of the world. My view of God. My view of the religion. Is the religion all of the religion? Is it part of the religion? Right? So some of these things. So now, what happens? Some practical examples and then some principles for how we just deal with this concept in life of how we can experience peace in our families. If we're still on the topic of getting married, if I'm in the engagement period and I've discovered that the person is not my kuf, I'm not supposed to get married and marry for potential. I'm not supposed to just, no, inshallah, it'll be okay. First, we're going to see if we're kuf. And what we say by kuf is the basics of the religion, the wajibat, no picking and choosing, whatever Allah says. Allah is superior to us. Not what I want, not what you want, Allah. Right? A concern about the wajibat. Not that I'm militant about any particular behavior or action, submission in that way. So what happens is, if we're in the state that, no, we've actually gotten married, now we've discovered that this is, these principles are important, we're going to talk about them, see why they're important later. Let's say I've already gotten engaged, we've gotten married, we're now, but we discovered that actually the khulq and the deen, the definitions are not the same. The next thing is, right now we delay getting married, as in moving in together. This is a golden opportunity for us to work to see if we can become kuf of one another, but it's not the stage where we go over and we just rush the ceremony and we start moving in together. No, we're going to still delay until we get this place in place. A couple of points, though, and then after that, the practical part. One thing that we should make sure we don't think of is some people immediately when they notice that there's a problem, let's say as serious a problem as this, the idea of being kuf or not being kuf, being equals in this way, some people immediately think about talaq. Divorce. Whereas for us as Muslims, that's the last route. It's the last route. Not just that first we go over. No, that's the last route. The other one to keep in mind is this. If there are disagreements in a marriage, if there are issues in a marriage, we shouldn't immediately, we're talking about now in the stage of engagement, immediately think this means we're not kuf of one another. I married the wrong person. No, there's disagreements in any marriage. There's disagreements. We're not going to immediately assume that I'm not kuf of the person and I'm in the wrong relationship. The other thing that we want to talk about, though, is that we can become kuf during the engagement period. We can't. This is now we're going to talk about the practical part. We can become kuf of one another during the engagement period, and then after that be able to experience the peace that Allah was supposed to provide us through the marriage. Now, there's some mistakes that people make during this period that are going to apply to ourselves, with our families, and in general trying to experience peace. Sometimes when we as Muslims experience bad behavior, another Muslim is not doing their responsibilities, bad behavior, the person isn't behaving appropriately, what we do sometimes is this. We respond with anger. Bad behavior, the person is not doing what Allah says. How do I respond? I respond with anger. Or criticism and offering lots and lots of advice. The person's not doing what I want. I would like that to change. How will I get you to change? I'm going to quote hadith, ayat, this, that, and the other. Until what happens is this. This is the way that the human minds work. This is hadith now. If we give too much criticism, sometimes that backfires. Sometimes, like the relationship that I have, I'm talking about somebody who's engaging in bad behavior, behavior that I don't like. I'm criticizing them, telling them hadith, ayat. It results in backfiring. This is a hadith of Ahlul Bayt, alayhim as-salam. Right? So another thing sometimes that we do is, let's punish bad behavior. Right? Let's get it together. We punish the bad behavior. I'm not going to reward bad behavior. I'll punish bad behavior and get the person to get their act together. That's another one. Or the fourth step that sometimes happens, which is again a mistake, is indifference. This is just how it is. Like that story that they tell, they said there was this old man and he went to the doctor. When he went to the doctor, he complained about his hearing. So the doctor said, yeah, don't worry, I'll get you these hearing aids. Everything will be fine. He gave him the hearing aids. Then he came back a month later. He said, how is your hearing now? He says, my hearing is 100%. He said, wonderful. He said, your family must be so happy. He said, my family? He said, I haven't told them. I just listen to what they say. I've changed my will 3 times. So indifference, putting up with it, that's another mistake. What are we supposed to do now? This is the part that there's a lesson that we learned before based on the principles that we're learning about proactive patience. We learned that the promise of Amir al-Mu'mineen was with patience there is victory. That's one. But the other one is, what is the definition of proactive patience? And now how are we supposed to deal with this when we're dealing with a situation which a person has bad behavior? Or they're not kuf in that example. So there's three things that we're supposed to do. The first one is not get lazy. Number two, that we don't get tired. First one, not get lazy. Number two, don't get tired. And number three was not to complain about God. Not to complain about Allah. Sometimes I made a mistake. Allah, why me? Those different kind of questions come up. What are we supposed to do, though? What does Allah want us to do? So we can use this now in our, sometimes we're married, we have kids. We're dealing with actual children who are now, or we're dealing with a spouse who is not doing this. Or let's say we're in that period of engagement, right? These are just techniques. We want to experience peace in our households. Our families provide us with peace. What are we supposed to do when we're dealing with bad behavior? If it wasn't just those four missteps that I mentioned happen. There's two things that our scholars advise us to do. One of them takes a little bit of belief in the unseen. Belief in the unseen. The idea that whatever we're doing, we do for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His promises are true. You know one of the things that our scholars advise us, if somebody's behaving properly, improperly, to show love to the person. To show love to the person. Be kind to the person. Instead of punishing bad behavior, right? We're criticizing, we're explaining. Sometimes I realize I've explained this concept. It's not that the person, they don't know. They do know. But then now I'm so frustrated by the continuation of this bad behavior that now I end up punishing the bad behavior, right? Or the criticism. What's the opposite to the idea of showing love to the person? You know what Islam teaches us about love? One of the things for love that love does is it makes us become one with the mahbub, our beliefs in our life. Why is it we're not supposed to embrace the kuffar and have that imtizaj ruhi with the kuffar? We can become, the hadith says that a man is on the religion of his friend. On the religion of the friend. So one of the things that love does, showing love, being kind, being caring, one of the things it does is help us to become one. It would seem the opposite. It doesn't seem like there's a direct relationship to making this person believe and feel as I do, but you'd be surprised. According to Islam, showing love is one of those things that helps. The other one is another sometimes concept that's been forgotten. That's the concept of conversation. And it's the enemy sometimes to the current lifestyle. Sometimes in the current lifestyle, what happens is that we're all on our devices, and in a lot of families, we don't actually sit down and conversate. If I do have a conversation, it's practical. If my son is there, how is work? Can you take out the garbage? Right? We're having those kind of conversations. Barking out instructions or just keeping it light. But real conversation is not happening. This is a culture that we have to actually change, right? One of the ways of us getting people to be on our side, we're talking about experiencing peace, whether it's we're in the engagement period, whether we're already married and we have children, whether we have grown children, the idea that we engage in, so one part of it which was very important was the idea of showing that love, and then not in a mercenary sort of way with the love, right? Sometimes I've been mean for a long time, then now I start, I come home, let's say it's my wife, she's here, so she's, alhamdulillah, she's not, take this example the wrong way. I've been mean to my wife, for instance, so now I come home and I bring a flower, and I say, how are you, everything okay? And then she's looking, she says, well, this guy, up until yesterday, he was Shimmer, he was Yazid, now he's smiling. And I say, well, the Quran says, if we're friends, then, so then now that I've did the flower, now I go and I add my advice. That's not what we're talking about, right? Consistently showing love, right? Being caring and kind, not rushing to get results. I'll give you another example. Sometimes if somebody has a sore, there's a scab. Scabs itch, as you know. The scab itches. Sometimes we're so eager to get the results, I pick the scab before it's ready. Showing love, changing my behavior, it's something that has to take place for a while. In addition to that, the other thing that we're supposed to do is the idea of conversation. So when we're explaining new concepts or trying to get somebody to come on board, because remember, the person's grown up in a different family than me, in a different family than myself, they have a different set of values. Explaining the concepts sometimes as ideas, as opposed to this is what we're going to do. Right? Giving myself time, explaining these concepts of ideas, and then inshallah we'll be able to talk about what are the ways, what are the Islamic rules for conversation? How do we have proper conversations? How do we engage our families and change the culture, which is the current culture, which we're all on our devices, nobody's talking to one another, we're all engaged, but none with one another? Or the idea of, we have to, inshallah, talk about that, but inshallah, we'll do that at another time, inshallah. So we end, inshallah, Allah accepts what was said and heard in His way, and we're able to experience that peace and that love that Islam wants us to have. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.